The Pittsburgh Steelers face the Cleveland Browns tonight, Thursday night football at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland. We're going to break down that game, but we're also going to pick every game like we do. Jenna Harner's joining us a day early so that we can get her on this week as previewing the game and all our week three games. But also, we want to focus on Najee Harris. I've talked a lot about the vision from Mitch Trubisky, but is the vision of Najee Harris holding him back? We'll talk about that and a lot more right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, please hit the like button on this video. If you enjoyed, hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the daily fantasy game made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for your double, your 100% instant deposit match up to $100 at prizepicks.com. Joining me today, as I said earlier, is Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI. Jenna, we normally have you on a Friday, but we bumped it up this Thursday because the Steelers play in Thursday Night Football. We got to get you on the show.
We are so excited for Thursday Night Football. How could you not be? I love it. I hate it the beginning of the week. You love it during, and then you love the little mini bye weekend, weekend afterwards.
Oh man, I am so ready to I guess I don't have a bye week because I got to cover Pitt Saturday, but we have Sunday, and I will enjoy my Sunday of not having to work extra hard. Yes. So that'll be nice, but I wanted to talk to you, Jenna, about something that's been – we've talked a lot about Mr. Trubisky this week, and rightfully so. It's the quarterback position, and there have been problems. But Najee Harris, even though I think that he's done an okay job, we have seen lapses or times where he's made, a wrong decision, at least in the hole, or he's made a wrong cut at a time. I don't think it's that egregious. I've only seen, two or three clips where I'm, over the last two games where I've seen, hey, this was a wrong read. The others, I think, are, hey – neither of these were as there as people are thinking. It's not as easy. This isn't an easy in the moment thing, but when you've talked to players, when you've seen, is there a sense that Najee Harris is hit, that any part of his vision or understanding of what the offensive line is doing is holding back this offense?
No, I don't think so at all. I think this is kind of a combination of a lot of things. I think it's a combination of this offense trying to find their identity and figure out who they are. When we talked with Mason Cole, the center in the locker room earlier this week, he was kind of going on about, we have to figure this out as an offense. Who are we? Who do we want to be? What is our identity? And I know there has been so much talk about, okay, well, when it comes to, throwing the ball, things along those lines, looking downfield, pushing the ball downfield. And then tying in the fact, too, again, I feel like we can keep coming back to the fact that this is a young and a new offensive line. They have a lot of new pieces, and they're still kind of figuring out how to gel together. I think optimistically, we've seen a lot of growth from that group from week one to week two, and even from the preseason, where I feel like the third preseason game, the sky was falling and the offensive line was going to be what held this team back. There's always going to be kind of those criticisms. There's always going to be something to be able to nitpick, week in and week out type of thing. But I think this is more of just kind of the offense still coming together, figuring out who they are. Najee Harris still has all the talent in the world and putting in so much work coming into this season because of the fact that he said he learned a lot as a rookie and he wants to kind of keep growing and wants to keep, doing all he can to be a leader on this team with what he does on the field and what he says in the locker room.
I think that's a big part of it too, is that this guy, they didn't just pick him as a captain for nothing. Ben Roethlisberger wasn't grooming him last year to be a captain for nothing. They know that this guy is special. This isn't just they missed him. No, if they missed him the draft pick, he wouldn't be a captain right now. If they didn't think that he could do this, or if he wasn't studying to get better, they wouldn't be giving him the reins that they have so far with the Steelers. I also look at it, and part of it is, I will say that the offensive line has blocked better than people have given it credit for. It's still not great, but it's been better than people. A lot of people said this was going to be the worst offensive line in the NFL. I told people, y'all don't understand how bad the worst line in the offensive line actually has to be the worst offensive line. And this has been far from the worst offensive line. I'd even say they're getting close to like the middle part of the NFL with the way they've pass protected. They need to run block better. But part of what happens when you are when you're run blocking, you're not run blocking consistently well, your running back is having to play a lot more guessing games, which gap he targets, when he cuts behind a certain player. Like if it's going to the left side, you know, and Kevin Dotson and Dan Moore Jr., your guys, you may start to trust, I'll cut behind Dotson before I cut behind Moore and attack, you know, depending on which gap that you're attacking there. And I really think that that's part of it. You know, I brought this up earlier in the week, but Rashard Mendenhall, go back and look at his career in the late 2000s, early 2010s. When that guy was playing, when that guy was, you know, was starting out, he was struggling to see what was in front of him. He really didn't get much of a chance to kind of set his feet. But then as he started to come along for the Steelers, you saw him start to have better games. You saw more consistent carries because he knew how to trust the linemen in front of him. And then especially when Marquise Pouncey came in 2010, you saw him making much better decisions in the hole. I think Najee Harris is just going through a very similar thing.
Yeah, and also look at the offensive line he was running behind at Alabama. Like all of those guys are starters and probably stars and potential stars in this league right now. I mean, there's a reason why that team is so consistently good. I think that also, you know, last year we talked so much about how bad the offensive line was and how big of an issue it was. And this year as well, again, you know, I kind of exercise caution here because it's also only week two. And if you're seeing these improvements from the offensive line, it's going to be a slow and steady progression, but it's going to be one of those, okay, the offensive line gels more. The offensive line is protecting Mitch Trubisky more. They're creating more ways for the run game to get going and for things to kind of turn along so that they will be able to get that deep downfield threat going. And that's kind of all going to work together. It's, you know, kind of like the wheel is turning a little bit. You have to kind of generate some momentum before it's going to go continuously. And that's the phase of where this offense is right now. And I think a lot of it is going to also be once those pieces do start really coming together, you're going to see Najee Harris have the games that we know he's capable of and what he's been accustomed to and why the Steelers drafted him. But I don't think there's any vision problems, and it's kind of easy. You know, you look at a play and you're like, oh man, if he had just gone this way,
I agree.
Would have, you know, a run for a touchdown. It's easy to kind of nitpick in that way. One of my good friends, Marcel Louis-Jacques, who is the Dolphins beat reporter for ESPN, tweeted earlier today, and I want to quote him on this because it was so intriguing, but there was kind of a play where someone's analyzing, you know, oh, if, you know, Marcus Peters turns around, Tua Tagovailoa throws his third interception of the game. And Marcel was kind of like, you know, I think really we as sports media and sports fans, we kind of get carried away with the ifs and the hows and don't focus on the what. Like, you can kind of say if this, if that, but you know, there are those times, and you can say that in any part of the game, but I think it's also just, we can nitpick so easily, but you look at, you have to look at the bigger picture. You got to look at the grand scheme of things and say, is he doing this consistently or are there just one or two plays? Because the same can be said, like, oh, you know, this lineman missed one or two blocks. This person, you know, there's all those little areas you can nitpick. So I don't think it's a big issue at all. I think it's going to be something that Harris is frustrated with what he's done through the first 2 weeks of the season. And I think he's going to eventually get there to be, you know, the player that we know he is.
I think he will be. I mean, we saw it last year. To bring it full circle, we saw it last year, especially against the Browns. He got over 100 yards against the Browns in their first matchup. I believe it was actually 120 total all-purpose that he had. And he scored a crucial touchdown that got them the win there. He also had over 200 yards all-purpose against the Browns in their second matchup when they beat them at Heinz Field for Ben's last home game. There for the Steelers. So, you know, he's been a crucial part of beating the Browns. And I do think that especially with Mitch Trubisky, with the struggles he's been having, this needs to be a week where, even though it's a short week, Najee, I think, turns it up and gets the Steelers some of those big plays that they drafted him for.
Yeah, absolutely. We heard Mike Tomlin talk about it kind of earlier in the week, you know, the unique challenge that a Thursday night game this early in the season poses, because usually when you have those short weeks, you kind of rely a lot on those fundamentals of the game that, you know, hey, we do this well. You don't have time really for, you know, practices to correct every little thing that you want to correct because of the fact that it's such a short week and you only get one true quote unquote practice week. So I think that they're really going to look to Najee Harris in this game because, again, of the relationship he's developed with Mitch Trubisky. And I think it's just one of those, hey, we know what you're capable of. We know you what you can do. We're going to simplify things a little bit and look to make this a huge part of our game and hopefully the game plan in a potential win for the Steelers this week.
We'll see if it is a potential win. We'll give you our predictions and our expectations for how this game will play out. We'll do that in the third segment. But next, we got coming up our week three picks. We got to talk about how things went down there in our pick'em league. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, we got to talk to you guys about one of our great sponsors, and that's Nugenix. Now, as we get older, our bodies need more maintenance, but we have less time with responsibilities and less energy when we're done with our days. But now Nugenix is here to help us feel revived. It gets you back to working out just like you used to. And if you want more energy to counter the negative physical effects of aging, Nugenix Total Testosterone Booster Testofen will help you turn back the clock, re-energize your workouts, get you better results at the gym, and help you look and feel like the man you really want to be. Nugenix Total T contains man-boosting key ingredients like testosterone, and it's been validated in 5 clinical studies shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. Because Nugenix Total T boosts free testosterone that the aging process robs, you'll feel stronger, leaner, and more energy and drive, and more passion, too. Your partner will notice the difference. While every product professes quality, many other products use generic ingredients that are often far less than clinical grade. With Nugenix Total T, you get the same clinical potency levels used in the trials, and Nugenix's formulation is backed by 10 years of science and research. Now, get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total Tea when you text NFL to 231-231. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast. Absolutely free. Text NFL to 231-231. Again, that's NFL to 231-231. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. She's Jenna Harner. And we're going into week three here. Now, I do want to say, Jenna, that we both picked the Steelers last week. They lost. When we split on the Steelers, they won the first week. So clearly, you need to stop picking the Steelers to win, and then maybe they'll stand a chance. That's clearly what the problem. It wasn't about Mitch Trubisky. It wasn't about Mike Tomlin. It was about Jenna Harner picking them on this podcast.
It's my fault, and spoiler alert, I might be doing it again.
So. Oh no! Oh no! We'll get to that in a bit here. But we've got some interesting matchups this week in the NFL because, man, like last week, there weren't too many picks that I felt very confident with. Last week, there were a lot of picks that I felt like, man, like I don't know. There were some people who felt confident about their picks because they did a good job. I dropped down to all the way down to 67th in our picks overall in what it was. Right now in first place all by themselves in the Locked On Steelers Pick'em League that you can join on ESPN.com's Pick'em Pigskin Pick'em. We've got Mr. McKeister with 21-10 as far as a record. We've got a lot of people behind them. 21-10 is the record. I'm 16-14. I took a big hit last week. Jenna, I'm having a hard time finding you because we have so many of you that signed up for this. It's hard to find people and their records. What is your record? Do you know by any chance what your total record in picking is right now?
I do. I dropped to under 500 this week. I'm 15-16.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm in 94th, Chris. I don't feel confident about anything at this point because I don't know who any of these teams are. The Bills are really good, and I think that's all. And the Colts are really bad, and I think that's all I can tell you.
Well, let's get into all the Sunday picks. We'll, of course, do Thursday Night Football because we're recording this episode earlier this week. We'll be able to do Thursday Night Football and the Steelers-Browns matchup in the third segment. But to Sunday's games, Saints at Panthers. The Panthers have been embarrassed so far. They lost in terrible fashion to the Browns. I believe they just lost to your G-men, the Giants. But now they are at home against the Saints. And the Saints are coming off a tough loss to the Buccaneers, but they put up a fight for a bit there. I think the Saints actually pull this one out on the road.
I do too, because of what they were able to do to limit Tom Brady for so long. If you're limiting a quarterback of that caliber, they're going to be able to limit Baker Mayfield. I think he's gonna, it just doesn't seem like this is going to be a great game in general, but yeah, Saints in this one.
Texans at Bears. Of course, the Texans 0-1-1. They are not, they have not lost every game, but they are still winless. The Bears, of course, pulled off the upset on the Niners in week one, then got trounced last week by the Packers. But I'm going with the Bears. I think that they're good enough to win this game at home. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if the Texans surprised, because I'm not too confident in the Bears.
Yeah, this is one of the ones a lot of them feel like toss-ups this week. This one I could really kind of see going either way. I'm going with the Bears just because I think they can build off of what they had in week one. And, I mean, they were playing the Packers on Sunday Night Football. I don't anticipate the Bears to beat the Packers for the next however many years when Aaron Rodgers is playing quarterback. I just don't. So, yeah, I think the Bears will win this game. But, I mean, it wouldn't be surprised if this is kind of a really close one that goes down to the wire.
Absolutely. That would be an interesting one to watch. But this one, not so much. This is my survivor pick of the week. Chiefs, Colts, they're like, come on. We're not even the Colts, you have lost me. You're 0-1-1. You were my dark horse for the season. Boo you. Get out of here. Chiefs, I'm picking. I don't even need an explanation.
Oh, my gosh. If the Chiefs, the way that they played in the first two games, if the Bills were able to take Josh Allen out of the end of the third quarter against the Titans, Patrick Mahomes might be out of this game at the half.
Yeah, it's that bad. I mean, the Colts were shut out by the Jaguars last week, and they allowed 24 points to those same Jaguars. I envision this, whatever kind of points that are being given to the Chiefs to win this game, I'll still take the Chiefs, and because they're going to score more than that. But the interesting game, and maybe the game of the week, is the 2-0 Bills at the 2-0 Dolphins. Buffalo, of course, coming up, they're trouncing of the Titans at home. They also trounced the Rams in week one, but now they're on the road in Hard Rock Stadium in Coral Gables, the place in Miami where they play their games. The Dolphins, they come off that big comeback win over the Ravens. I'm still going Bills here, but I wouldn't be surprised if this one does get competitive going into the fourth quarter.
Oh, absolutely. And I tweeted just a little while ago, because here in Pittsburgh, we, if you don't have like the local game, I should say, is not this game. And I'm disappointed, because this is going to be a phenomenal football game. I think it's just going to be so incredible to watch both of these quarterbacks kind of just sling it and have fun with the offenses that they have, because these are two fun offenses to watch. I just can't pick against the Buffalo Bills right now. It is going to be interesting to watch their injury statuses as they go into the week, but they did what they did against the Titans without like three key defensive players.
Yeah.
So if they get some of the guys back that they probably anticipate getting back this week, I think this will be a very fun and competitive game. But yeah, it's just with the way that offense and the defense is operating, the fact that they didn't have to punt until for the first time this season until the second half of that game, I can't pick against them right now.
I'm with you on that. But here's an interesting NFC North showdown. You got the 1-1 Lions at the 1-1 Vikings. You know, the Lions, they put up a fight against the Eagles, and then they were able to handle their business last week against the Commanders. The Vikings, they put a whooping up on the Packers, but then they got whooped up on by the Eagles. Transitive property speaking, saying that because the Lions like hung in with the Eagles and the Vikings didn't, I'm going to go with the Lions. I do think that they're going to ride into this game and have a good performance. You know, Kirk Cousins, he's so up and down. One minute he looks like a genius. People saying, oh, he'll be considered in the MVP race. Next minute, you know, Justin Jefferson is like looking at him like, what are you doing? And so that's why I'm going with the Lions. I think they'll be good enough to win.
I'm going with the Lions too. When do we get the Lions? Wow. I'm excited with what this offense has been able to do. They're one of, I believe they're the third highest scoring offense right now, you're like, how on earth is that possible? But their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, who's been in the building and they promoted him heading into this season, I think his creativity, I think what he's done in just these two games has given me, dare I say, faith a little.
Did you say faith with the Lions?
I know. I don't know. Faith in their plan and what they're doing to progress from being the Lions we all know and love of the last handful of years. Oh. I don't have faith in them. I have faith in where they're going, but I'm going with them against the Vikings, and it feels weird.
Yeah, I feel you on that. It is kind of weird to be picking the Lions, but we'll see how that plays out. Now, an interesting AFC matchup. The 1-1 Ravens go to visit the 1-1 Patriots. The Patriots didn't – like, they beat the Steelers last week, and they were the better team. Yeah. I'm just not so sure if they're a better enough team to handle Lamar Jackson and keep up with the scoring that he can put together, nor am I sure if their defense can contain him the way that they contain the Steelers. I'm going with the Ravens on the road, but I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Belichick finds ways to attack that Ravens secondary that's so beat up.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I'm going with the Ravens in this one, but this is also going to be really intriguing to watch because how does Belichick scheme against Lamar Jackson and that offense? And how does he look to have Mac Jones and potentially Nelson Agholor, like Nelson Agholor picked apart the Steelers on some plays? How does he see them doing it against, like you said, a banged up Ravens secondary? I think the Ravens also, though, are coming into this one not happy after what happened last week and what they allowed and what they did. I think that's going to fuel the fire, and I think Lamar Jackson just wants to keep balling out like he's been balling out. So I'm going with the Ravens here.
Bengals at Jets. Bengals 0-2, Jets 1-1. Bengals need this win, and I'm picking them just because they need this win. Yeah. If they lose this game, there will be fire. There will be terror. There will be just panic in the sky for the team that everyone – all I heard all offseason, they're repeating. They're going to be great. They're going to be awesome. Joe Burrow's a god. He's unstoppable. And you've lost to the Steelers, you've lost to the Cooper Rush-led Cowboys, and now you're facing the Joe Flacco-led Jets. You cannot let this team beat you.
What has happened with the Bengals' offensive line? What has happened? They touted it as this new, incredible...
They weren't all that.
It hasn't looked great. It really hasn't looked great, but I'm with you on that. I'm picking them because... if they don't win this game, there's a lot of question marks. I anticipated a little bit of like a Super Bowl trip hangover from this team. Mm-hmm. I didn't anticipate what we've seen out of the first 2 weeks. And again, if they can't get it done against a Joe Flacco-led Jets, I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know either. We're both going with the Bengals, though, to make sure that they do. 0-2 Raiders at 0-2 Titans. Man, I thought the Titans... it was bad that they lost to the Giants, but then they got smoked by the Bills. And I mean, like, I knew the Bills were a better team, and I picked the Bills to win. They were even my survivor pick. But they just looked pathetic. Derrick Henry couldn't get going. There was nothing going on there. The Raiders, coming off that heartbreaker loss in overtime, they allow Kyler Murray to not only score on a ridiculous touchdown, but then run around and throw a 2-point conversion, and then Hunter Renfrow gives up the fumble that scooped and scored in overtime. This is a tough one for me, but I'm going with the Raiders. I think that them being on the road isn't going to be a problem. I think that they'll play fine. I'm not so sure about who the Titans are right now. I think Ryan Tannehill is struggling. I think that he's looking over his shoulder a bit with Malik Willis, and he doesn't have his top target anymore in AJ Brown. I think that's having repercussions on the offense.
Oh, absolutely. I think that offense looks entirely different. And we saw the Bills defense just absolutely pick it apart. My goodness. The fact that Malik Willis made his debut because of the fact that it was such a beatdown in Buffalo. Yeah, I'm going with the Raiders here just because I feel like, to me, they're the more complete team. They know who they are. They have a little bit more of that identity. I think last week was kind of just one of those, like, you learn from the tape and then you throw it out, because that was just such a wild game against the Cardinals, the way that they allowed Kyler Murray to come back. And I think, again, it's still really early in the season, so teams are still figuring out who they are. But yeah, I like the Raiders in this one better than I like the Titans, just based on what I saw on Monday night.
Eagles at Commanders. Eagles looking like one of the best teams in the NFL right now. I'm sticking with them until the Commanders prove otherwise. It's the Carson Wentz revenge game. I don't think he's going to do enough to revenge.
I don't think so either. I think that defense for the Eagles looked phenomenal against, and we know the whole Kirk Cousins playing in primetime thing, all that stuff, but they just balled out. Darius Slay, have yourself a day, a game, a week, all of the above, a month. I really liked what they did on Monday night, and they do look like a really, really big threat.
Jaguars at Chargers, both teams 1-1. I'm going with the Chargers, though. You know, the Chargers, they barely lost to the Chiefs last week. They handled their business against the Raiders in week one. I think the Jaguars, good win last week, beating up on the Colts the way they did. I don't think they got enough answers for Justin Herbert.
No, I agree with you. And I know there's kind of concern about Justin Herbert's injury status. One of my, you know, I always have, you know, social media friends in the industry. Bridget Condon, she's a reporter for NFL Network, just recently came out with a report that a source in the building told her Herbert, you know, was doing his normal, practicing normally the way he does, throwing normally the way he does, and looking good. The rib cartilage thing is kind of tricky because it's one of those, like, she compared it to a sprained ankle where it's like, that's you only kind of, you know, rest it is really the only way you recover.
Right.
So he has rested a little bit, but it's more of that just, you know, sometimes it can be feeling really good. Sometimes it might not be feeling great. And we saw that in that game late against the Chiefs. But I think even if they, you know, with, 70% Justin Herbert, this should be a game that the Chargers win. But I think the Jags will make it interesting.
I think it will be an interesting one. We head on to our 4 o'clock games, Rams at Cardinals. You know, I haven't gotten a beat on the Rams yet because they almost lost last week. It took Jalen Ramsey to make the plays. I'm going to pick the Rams because I don't believe in the Cardinals too much. But, man, if the Rams lose, there's going to be a lot of eyebrow raising over there in L.A.
Yeah, this is another one I don't really feel too comfortable about because if you're the Rams, you come off escaping that narrow comeback. And if you're the Cardinals, you were able to pull off a miraculous comeback. I feel like just the Rams, to me, have that more sense of being a complete team. And obviously, I mean, when you're the defending Super Bowl champs, you kind of always have a little bit more of, like, you know, inclination to pick them. So I don't entirely know who they are yet, but I'm feeling a little more confident in them than I do in the Cardinals.
We're going to look at 0-2 Falcons at 1-1 Seahawks. Seahawks better record and at home, but I'm going with the Falcons. I've liked the way that they've at least competed. I don't think they're that good of a team, but I'm giving them more credit. I don't buy into the Seahawks' first win. I think the Broncos kind of handed it to them, and I think I like the way that the Falcons have at least competed in both their first two games against the Saints and Rams, so I'm going it with Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going with the Falcons too, and it was one of those, like, I looked at my picks, and I'm like, did I do that? Did I really do that? But yeah, no, I don't know who Seattle is. I feel like I keep saying that about teams, but I just, to me, they got trounced by the 49ers last week.
Trounced.
That's a beat down. They put up just 7 points. I think again, too, you're right. The Broncos kind of gave them the game that first week. I don't know who they are yet. So I mean, this one could be anything, but I'm going with the Falcons just because I'm like, I like them a little better.
Packers at Buccaneers. Now, this is a big matchup. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. The Super Bowl we always wanted but never got. I've always been interested to see how these two guys matched up. We've seen it in the playoffs, you know, once with the NFC. But, you know, I've been so back and forth on this. I got to go with the Buccaneers. I think that their defense is going to make more plays in this game. I don't buy in the pack. The Packers beat up on the Bears, but it's the Bears. I don't know if I buy into that. I'm going to stick with the Buccaneers. They're at home. Tom Brady, the Buccaneers ain't been great on offense, but I think their defense can contain Aaron Rodgers enough that Tom Brady makes enough plays to get the win. What say you?
I'm going to the flip side. The reason is because, ooh, like you just mentioned, the Bucs have not been great on offense. And yes, I know last week it's the whole this Tom Brady can't play against the Saints type of thing in the regular season. I just looking at the offenses, feeling like they're more complete because also the Bucs are really banged up, especially when it comes to like a handful of their weapons. I like the Packers. There's another one I feel kind of about it, but I have a little more trust in the Packers offense right now and just how healthy they are compared to the health of the Bucs offense.
Sunday Night Football, 1-1 Niners at 1-1 Broncos. I think the Niners should roll these guys. I don't like the Broncos at all right now. Maybe it's Nathaniel Hackett. I don't know, but Russell Wilson has not looked himself in these games.
Nope, I completely agree. And I think the Niners did exactly what I thought they were going to do this past week. They were going to move on past the insane rain game in Chicago, come in, absolutely kind of take over against the Seahawks. And I just think that defense is going to be really, really, really solid.
Last game here. Your New York Football Giants are 2-0, Jenna. And they're hosting the 1-1 Cowboys led by none other than Cooper Rush. Jenna, I'm going to let you take the floor to start out. Are you sticking with your boys? Are you riding with the Giants? Or are you saying, nah, I don't believe in these guys at all?
I don't know how the Giants are 2-0. The Giants are 2-0, and it feels like the world is – the sky is falling, the world's ending. What's happening? I don't know. I do really like, though, what Brian Daboll is doing with this team. And I've said that since they made that hire. I'm really happy with the way that that went down. However, the Cowboys, I know there's so many questions about both of these teams. I just think that the Cowboys, to me, have more experience than this Giants team does. I don't think this is going to be the end of the world if the Giants lose this game, but I just think it's going to be a close game, like a 23-20 type of game where, as the Giants usually do, lose at a field by a field goal as time expires.
See, you don't give your boys credit, but they're out here 2-0. They took down the Tennessee Titans. They're on a win streak. I'm going with the G-men, where you don't have faith in your squad. I do. So there you have it. Jenna, abandon your boys. Chris Carter says, I'll pick up the slack for him. Anyways,
you take them.
She said, go ahead. Have fun with that.
I don't need, I'm going to, on Sunday or Monday night, I'm going to actually get the chance to like sit and watch a Giants game and that'll feel be nice. All of my emotions. And I don't know if I'm ready for that.
I don't know if we are either. I've seen Jenna watch Giants games. It's stressful.
it's very stressful.
So you and I's only splits are you have the Cowboys, I have the Giants, you have the Packers, I have the Bucks. Interesting splits there. What are your splits there if you're listening to it at home? Well, you can see that on the ESPN Pigskin Pick'em League that you can sign up for free and join and play with us every single week. We'll be right back to discuss Steelers at Browns, Thursday Night Football, our preview, our prediction, all final notes there before the kickoff that happens on Thursday Night Football. But first, we got to talk to you guys about BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one place to go for all your sports betting, gambling, and all your information that you want out there. BetOnline is the place that we always tell you to go to because they're not just about the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball. They're about all of it, and they get you all the information that you need. Lines, prop bets, contests, overs, unders, everything. You can get all your sports wagering information from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in the action when you visit BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI. All right, Jenna, back to Steelers game here. This is an interesting matchup. Both teams really need to win this, in my opinion. The winner would technically be in first place of the AFC North because they would be 2-1. And even if the Ravens beat the Patriots to go to 2-1, the winner will have the division win. So they'll have the tie over. And not that who leads the division at week three is important, but the Steelers are in a place where right now I think they need to get every win they can while they don't have TJ Watt. They need to sub. And last week was a game that if they had found a way to pull that out, it would have gotten them so much more breathing space to say, hey, you know, they're 2-0. They're a game up on everybody, two games up on the Bengals. And it might have given them some breathing room to lose some of these games when they're not going to have TJ Watt, say, against the Buffalo Bills, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Miami Dolphins. We'll see how it went whenever he comes back. But this is a game that we both feel, I think, that they're going to be able to fight in. Jenna, what is your key factor in this game? What's your turning point in this game? And give the people your final score prediction and how it turns out that way.
Well, I think my key factor, because I'm going to steer away from the offense, because everyone and their mother has been talking about the offense.
Indeed.
But we need to also focus on the fact that the Browns have the best rushing attack in the entire league right now. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, that tandem duo. Mike Tomlin talked about it being 1 and 1A in terms of running backs. Stop the run for the defense. That's going to be simple here. That's been a huge focus of theirs. They want to make it more of a point of emphasis, especially when the Patriots were able to do what they did last week and run, what was it, the last 6 minutes and 13 seconds off the clock?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be able to limit that. You got to be able to slow things down, and you have to be able to find ways to create pressure without TJ Watt. I think they're going to be able to do that. I think this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be not entirely too pretty.
Yeah.
I'm tentatively going 2017 Steelers, and I think a turning point is going to be the Steelers offense being able to take a deep shot or two downfield, open up a little bit of the passing game so that they're able to get their run game going. We talk about the Browns run game. The Steelers can get their run game going and have a more balanced offense and play that complementary football that Cam Hayward was talking about earlier this week. So I think the Steelers win this one. I think it's going to be close, and it's really going to seem to hinge on, can the Steelers defense limit Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt as much as possible?
That's my point here too. I said the same thing, yesterday on the crossover. If they can take away the run, and again, it doesn't mean getting like 20 yards rushing, but I'm saying if they can limit them to, you know, 3 yards per carry or less, you know, keep them in that range, or even let's just less than 4 yards per carry, keep them in a place where the running game can't get chunks, it can't save them. Force Jacoby Brissett to have to be a great, force him, you know, one, take away the big plays so that he can't hit, you know, easy touchdowns, but force him to have to consistently dissect you and make great reads and make great throws. You do that. I don't think Jacoby Brissett's as good a quarterback as Mac Jones, and I don't think that he's going to make a lot of the reads that Mac Jones was able to make last week. I think if the defense comes out on point, communicates, plays physical, they'll be able to limit the Browns' offense even more than they limited the Patriots' offense last week. And if they do that, it'll come down to the Steelers' offense making a few plays to get on the board. But this will come down to, again, who makes the first big mistake. Last week, I thought the Steelers would not make the first big mistake. They did throw an interception. They got evened out by Minka Fitzpatrick's interception, but the punt fumble, the punt muff by Gunnar Olszewski proved costly. I think that they avoid that this week. They had it last week. I think that's out of their system. The Browns, I think that they're a team, you know, Jeff Lloyd from Lockdown Browns has been talking about some of the inner fighting going on in the secondary, pointing fingers at who's making the mistakes in coverage that let the Jets come back at them. Maybe the Steelers can pick at that for some big plays in this game, but that's why I have them winning. Jenna, I'm sorry, but did you give a final score prediction with your last pick?
I think I did. It was okay. 20-17.
20-17. Yes. Okay. So I got to be creative and different here because I'm not no poser. I don't copy off of Jenna's homework. unlike she does with my fantasy team, she always picks my players. Yeah, we're bringing that up here.
Wow, fighting words.
Yes, do check out, though, the WPXI Fantasy Football Insider every Wednesday night. I think it's 6:30.
Yes.
6:30 on WPXI.com, where you can get all your fantasy football advice and our infighting that you see Jenna and I do there for a half an hour. But back to what I was saying, I'm going to go 24-13. I'm going to say the Steelers, one of those touchdowns is going to be a pick six. Or a sack fumble touchdown type of deal. But I think the Steelers offense does just enough in this game, and they'll be ahead, and then the Browns will get desperate. The Jacoby Brissett will have to take a ridiculous shot, and that'll allow Minka Fitzpatrick to get a pick. He'll come out of this game with three interceptions in three straight games. I think he's on his way to being a first team All Pro again. But there you have it. 24-13. Jenna's got 20-17. There you have it. Our picks and predictions for the week. Jenna, thanks so much for joining us here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. We were happy to get you on a day early. We hope that you have a safe drive and ride out to First Energy Stadium, and be sure to check out all the work that Jenna and the crew, the WPXI crew, does out there, as you can watch the game Thursday night on Channel 11 if you're in the Pittsburgh area.
That's right. Locally, I know everybody's had issues with Amazon Prime. Unfortunately, sorry to non-locals. I hope that they've fixed it. I do have some friends that work for Amazon Prime and for these broadcasts, and they say that they've heard everything. So trust me, they're making sure that they can, you know, give you guys the best game as possible. But if you're local in the Pittsburgh area, Pittsburgh television market, Channel 11 WPXI will have the game. I'll be live from Cleveland pregame. Got some really awesome stuff. I had the chance to sit down with Najee Harris one-on-one this week and chat with him. So definitely look for that story. You can find me on Twitter at JennaHarner11, Instagram Jenna_Harner, and again on WPXI with all of our content.
Absolutely. Do check out all Jenna's stuff with Channel 11. They are amazing. That's why I'm happy to do that. And I'll be on with you guys Friday night talking Skylights in high school football, what happened in the Pittsburgh area on Friday night after the Thursday night football game. But I'm Chris Carter, host of the Locked On Steelers podcast. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can also read my work at the Post Gazette, Pittsburgh Post Gazette, post-gazette.com. If you want to check it out there, as I cover Pitt football and Pitt basketball. Pitt football coming up with their big game against Rhode Island. I guess I should say big game. It's their last non-ACC game, so they get a chance at Acrisure Stadium at noon to pummel an FCS team before they get to conference play. I'll have all that at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We'll have a breakdown here tomorrow night. As soon as the game is over, I'll be getting to work here in my own studio here to try and get out, you know, what my thoughts are on the game between the Steelers and the Browns. And of course, that'll lead to the Friday episode of the Locked On Steelers podcast. Stay tuned. We'll have everything great for you after the game. Have a happy Thursday, everyone. We will see you after the game this Thursday night or Friday morning.